you have a car question or if you have a dispute between you and your brother, or there's a dispute about what to do between the wife and the husband, or if you've recently been given an estimate with respect to what needs to be done on your car, all that kind of stuff is well within the parameters of the show. I'll give you the best advice I can give you. I do it publicly, and if I don't like it, I'll tell you, and if I do like it, I'll tell you that too. This isn't about any particular my shop or anything else. There are good shops out there, and I talk about them on a regular basis to let you know that there's good shops out there. These people have been in business for a very long time. They know right from wrong. They have great reviews, and the owners are on site. That's something that's important to me. So you won't find any of the shops on my best car repair shops list in chain environments unless there's an owner that has two. But the bottom line is that I believe that there has to be an owner, and the chains don't really work with making promises because of the turnover. So 6 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, and I'll give you an example. Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing has been around in their present location on Main Street just east of Stapley since 1970. But Brian and Thelma come from two families that started gas stations in the 50s and the 60s. They've been around a long time. They know right from wrong. They've seen good guys, good mechanics and bad mechanics. They've seen good owners and bad owners. And they've seen cars that somebody lied about the repair or didn't do it right. They've done all that. And so as a result of that, it's the only shop in Mesa that I can get through the filter that I created. So if you're in Mesa, Thompson's Auto Repair is on Main Street just east of Stapley. And Gil, does that mean we have a call?
Yes, Mark. Say hello to Nick.
Nick, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you very much.
Quick question. Well, not real quick. About 3 weeks ago, I got the right rear turn signal light out in my vehicle, 2018 Dodge Ram 1500 4x4. And so I got the hyper flash, and yeah, definitely my right rear blinker was not working. I was going to go fix it, but then it came back. It turned off, and then it started working again. Then it did the same thing. The message came back on. I said, okay, I'm going to go switch the bulb. I switched the bulb, worked for 2 weeks, and it came back up. The message came back up, and my hyper flash started going again. Changed the bulb, stayed on the rear right signal and the hyper flash, and the right rear wasn't blinking. Changed the socket, and same thing. The right rear turn signal light out, message is still on, and the blinker doesn't blink. The light bulb turns on, but it's not blinking.
Okay. As silly as it sounds, I'd probably disconnect both battery cables, and I would touch the cables together. Okay? The cables together, which means you're going to have to take probably, if it's got a side mount battery, you take the bolt out of the side mount. And what I usually do is just take a small jumper wire with two clips and hook the positive to the negative. Cable, not battery. And what we're doing is we're going to clear the memory of everything, and we're going to start all over again. Let me explain. Your brake light, when you apply your brakes, it goes through the turn signal switch, and then it goes to all four corners of the car. That's how, and everything, this turn signal switch is the big dog. That's the center of the universe. So, and all they're doing is monitoring voltage and amp draw on all those circuits in your computer, and that's why they keep turning on these lights and stuff. Did you use any dielectric grease on any of the sockets or any of the bulbs?
No, sir.
Okay. I always do for two reasons. It eliminates corrosion and sure makes it get easy to get the bulb in and out, you know, 3 years from now, 4 years from now. So just a small tube of a dielectric grease, you rub it around the base of the bulb or the bayonet of the bulb and slide it into the socket. The other thing, and unfortunately, you can't go out there and start wiggling the bulb and thinking that the light's going to go out, because it needs to see a couple of times that the light is fixed before it turns it off. So you got all these moving parts. But I wish you would have taken the other side bulb out and put it on the passenger's, or on the other. I wish you would have switched sides on the bulb at the very beginning.
And gotcha.
That would have helped, because then we'd know if it was the socket or not. But what I hear is you've replaced the bulbs and you've replaced that socket.
Correct.
How many miles are on it?
48,840.
I don't know. I mean, is the bulb the same number as the other side?
Yes. Everything's the same. Now, the only difference is now the socket is a different, it's a different socket, because I just went to the local O'Reilly's and, you know, I looked online, saw that they had this part, and it fit, and, you know, the bulb that I bought from AutoZone, I think it was, I mean, that was working at first, and then didn't work. It worked like it lit up, but it doesn't blink.
Okay.
So, and it's doing the same thing.
Okay, now, there's two flashers in your car, too. There's one for the turn signals and one for the hazards. And sometimes it's worth switching those two.
Okay. Okay.
So we're gonna, and then another thing that you want to do is when it's got the problem, I want you to walk around the car with the four ways on. There's been times where we're working on the right rear, but it's really the right front.
Gotcha.
And that's just the world we live in. And what part of town do you live in?
Southwest Buckeye.
Okay. Probably 38th Avenue and Indian School, Parker's, or Billy at 25th Street Auto. Either one of those two people could track this down for you. If it gets to the point where you want help, then those are the two guys that are closest to you. I'd bet big money they could, both of them could fix it. And you might say to them, I want to fix it, but I want you to track it down for me. And then what they're going to do, they're probably going to call you and say, okay, well, the find it was $80 and the fix it was another buck.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, if I go somewhere, I'm going to have them fix it for you, the whole thing.
So,
so it was Parker's on 34th and Indian School, you said?
It's Harker's with an H. Harker's, 38th Avenue and Indian School. And then Billy at 25th Street Auto. He's like 25th Street and Indian School. Both of those shops are really good at the diagnostic part. And just tell them, you could, it's a nice way to open the conversation. Mark Salem said you guys couldn't find your Levi's with both pants, but I thought I'd try you anyway. And now, I also want to tell you, I don't make any commission and any money off of the referrals. I don't. So it's not, I'm not telling you that. But it puts a little more pressure on them, under the circumstances. So you can try that.
Gotcha. Yeah, the only thing that worries me about, I live in the middle of farm fielding. We got rodents all over the place, so I'm hoping that that's not going to be the case.
Well,
these guys chewed up the wire.
And that's okay, but it can be, and that's the season for it right now. But the key here is what's blinking and what isn't, and that's the circuit you're going to go after. So
gotcha.
It comes from the turn signal, and it goes to the right front, and it goes to the left front. And so if the wire's chewed from the common to the right rear, then that one's going to be intermittent, but the front one isn't going to be intermittent. So that's how you can help yourselves and save a lot of diagnostic money. If you can talk about when it's happening, it's only the right rear. Or the light comes on and there's nothing wrong, but the right front isn't working. Those are the kinds of things that save you money.
Yeah. Basically right now, that's the only one that's not working.
Okay.
The front right blinker works.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to compare right front to right rear. Because those are the right rears your concern, yes?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, the two right ones. Those are the ones that I want you to keep an eye on. Okay, Dave?
Okay, great. Thank you very much, sir.
You're more than welcome. In the 1990s, we came out with a car in an Impala, and it was 94, 95, and 96. And it was an LT1 motor. It's a four-door, and they ended up being police cars. They were really romping, stomping fast. I have a hack collection second to few people that I know, and I was going through the hats and I'm starting to give a lot of them away, and I'm sitting here looking at two Impala hats. Neither one of them has ever been on a human head. The one is black that has the deer, the Impala with the circle, and below it it says Impala SS. So it's brand new, it's never been worn. And the second one is the same, except it's dark blue, but it says police Impala on it.
2 minutes.
So if you have an Impala, then get the last six digits of the VIN and call me. I'm not going to ask you for the six digits because Gil's going to take that. I'm going to give you these hats. You'll have to go to Tempe and get them from the office. And I'm going to give you, but I need the last six digit because you're going to bring your registration to that Impala in to make sure you have an Impala and that you're not going to sell this on the internet for $30, $40, $50, $60. So if you've got an active registration for a 94, 95, or 96 Chevrolet Impala and you own that car, then you call Gil, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Give him the last six of your VIN. Just the numbers, that's all. I'm not asking for the front side of it, just the numbers. And then Gil's going to put you on the air with me, and we're going to talk about your Impala, and then you can pick up your hats sometime after Tuesday of next week. So anyway, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. It's what's important when it comes to car repair is the right people, and Automatic Transmission Exchange has been in Phoenix since 1968. 40th Street in Washington, been around the block. Once you meet Phil and his staff, you'll recognize they're grizzly old guys that's been around, and they started with the two speeds and the power glides, and they've gone all the way up to the 8 and 10 speed electronically controlled computers. They got it. We're just using different ways to shift the dumb car, and that's the only difference, but they're all built pretty much under the same fundamental knowledge of a gear change, a nice smooth gear change. So if you have any transmission problems, the only shop in town I can recommend for transmission work and automatic transmission work is Automatic Transmission Exchange, 40th Street in Washington, and we'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. 21 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. We're here for the next hour and a little more than a half talking about car repair stuff, and you're welcome to join us. We have five lines. Gil is the guy that's answering the phones, and you'll just give him your name, and then he'll whisper in my ear that you're in queue, and we'll take your call, 602-508-0960. If you're outside the Phoenix metropolitan area, 888-960-9696, for those of you on iHeartRadio, 888-960-9696. And you're more than welcome to give us a call, and we're going to ask you your make and model of your car and what kind of problem are you having, and that's the easy thing. We had a lady call, and a lot of ladies don't like to go on the show, and that's okay. I could never get my mother to come on the show, but she wanted to know about body shops. I would love to be able to help you, but I'm in the same boat you are. For years and years, we had body shops that were great, that were run by old grizzly guys that knew right from wrong. They knew they were craftsmen. They fixed cars perfectly. They knew everything there was to know. But they're all gone. There's been a lot of conglomeration in Arizona. So there's been big companies come in and buy a bunch of auto repair shops. They bought a bunch of tire shops recently. And they're consolidating the body shops. So I'd love to help you, ma'am, but I'm in the same boat you are. Just recently, a good friend of mine was involved in a crash and said, can you help me find a repair shop? And I just said to him, I can't. I don't know a good one to send you to, but I do have something that I think would help. I don't know if this is an insurance claim or not, but the insurance companies typically have a relationship with some good body shops. So let's pretend your insurance company's Geico. Geico has relationships with body shops, and because they send so much business to the body shop kind of dances to their music. That's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing in the mechanical world either. So if there's somebody that sends me a whole lot of business, I'm not going to step on their toes. So call your insurance company, get a hold of a claims adjuster, or get a hold of your agent and ask him, who do you use to fix your car? Because you need someone on your side, but it's just different today. It's just different in a bad way. It's different today. There was a North Scottsdale shop I referred to. They just sold. There was a East Valley shop. They just sold. There's another one that just recently sold. Oh, North Phoenix shop just sold. And it has all new management, all new philosophies, and I am just not willing to stick my neck out because my promise to you is if you use one of my shops and they don't perform as they should, and someone in a neutral position like the Better Business Bureau or the Attorney General's office says you need to do this, and if they don't, I will. Well, I can't do that anymore. I can't do that anymore for the body shops just because I don't know them. So I'm not saying that there's good ones, that they're all bad. Don't misunderstand. It's just that with all the movement, things have changed a lot for many of you. And if you have comments on that, 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. Recently, a guy that was 2 miles away from me, his name was Greg. He had a big shop. Him and I were the best of friends. And we would compare notes and weekly sales and vendors and all kinds of stuff. We just had somebody walked in and wrote him a huge check, and he walked out. Lock, stock, and barrel. Locked out. Shortly thereafter, there was a tremendous change in staffing. And that just says that the people that were there went to other shops. And perhaps they brought their own talent in. I don't know. But there's three big tire stores, and I had the cell phone numbers of all three of these guys. And they're gone. It's under new management. And no one knows the kind of money they're spending. Of course, it's real secret about the kind of money, but as you can well imagine, people don't always keep their promises when they make promises about, don't tell anybody how much we wrote you that check for. I don't know factual data. It's in the millions and millions of dollars. So at the end of the day, somebody came in and spent $3, $4, $5, $6, $7, $8, $9 million for one or more shops. They're going to have to raise the prices, and they're going to have to increase sales in order to get a return on their investment. Anybody who thinks they're going to go in there and run it like Mom and Pop Safford did has got another thing coming. They're going to have to move forward. They're going to elevate their sales. They're going to have to elevate their profits. They're not going to make it with a $6 million debt load against a building and a business. They have to change things, because if he was making $6 million a year, you wouldn't have sold it to him for $6 million a year or $7 million or whatever it was. So in the big picture, that's what's going on. We're not for sale because it's a family operation. I mean, I'm first generation, and I've got kids in it, and hopefully I got grandkids in it, so I'm not for sale. And there's a lot of other shops that say that now, but now is now, and then is then, and tomorrow's tomorrow. So if somebody walks in and hands you a check that you just can't, I mean, it involves the biggest houseboat you've ever seen and a lot of other things, that's what's going on. One of the first shops that I was aware of, and most everybody was aware of, was Sundevil Auto. Sundevil Auto sold, I think they had 28 shops, something like that. The Sundevil guy, Joel, and his son, Tom, they were great people. I liked them. We kind of grew up, Tom and I kind of grew up together. And Joel and I had conversations about business and stuff. But one day somebody rode in on their horse and wrote him a big check and walked away. I don't know if Sundevil's better, worse, or the same. I hope it's the same or better. I don't know. I don't care. But the bottom line is that's what's going on in our industry. So that's why I don't have a body shop, is because the body shops that I did like are now in the hands of others. And I can't recommend them. And this is the fifth or sixth call that I've not been able to take care of. And then I got a call from an insurance guy that's a friend of mine. And he says, send them back to their insurance company. Because what you want is you want someone who can twist the body shop's arm. You know, make this right, okay? Make it right for her. It's only $100 or it's only $200 or I'll split the repair with you. But let's make it right. That's what you need, someone in your corner. And I don't have that. And so if the shop caters to one insurance company on a big way, then certainly that would be the shop I would want to go to. Because if I'm an unhappy customer, then hopefully the insurance company will mediate the problem and help the shop and you and them all end up happy. And that's a good thing. Anyway, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. We have five lines. They're wide open. You're welcome to call anytime. If you have a 94, 95, or 96 Impala, and you have registration for that car, then call me with the sixth. You're not going to tell me on the air the last six digits of the VIN. It'll be on your registration. But I have two hats here. They date back to those cars. They're brand new. One's an Impala. They're both say Impala SS, and then they've got the Impala with a circle on the bill. But one of them is the police hat, because the police department's bought a lot of those hats. So I have two hats. If I get two callers, the first one gets his pick, whether he gets the blue policeman or he wants the black Impala, and the other guy gets the other one. I'm just giving them away. I'm getting rid of a lot of the hats in my collection. So 602-508-0960. When you call, Gil answers the phone. He's a great guy. He gets out of jail on weekends, and he's allowed to work on weekends. That's not true. And he's been with me ever since I've been at KKNT, which is 2011. So he's a good guy, and he keeps me in line and keeps me on my marks. And he's telling me right now that you have about 10 seconds to go before this segment is over with. And Gil, I'm going to walk it right up to the 3.00. Is that okay with you? All right. I'm Mark Salem. We'll be back right after this. Hey, welcome back, everybody. 33 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. Gil and I were talking off air. He made me laugh, and he tells like dirty jokes that just tear me up. I don't know what it is. Anyway, Strictly Diesel Service and Repair is a great shop. Nate is a guy that you just have to meet. He's taller than a skyscraper, and he has hands like tennis rackets, but he's the nicest guy in the world. And when it comes to Chevy and Ford and Dodge, he is the king. So if you have a diesel that maybe it has a problem when it starts hot, it cranks, but it doesn't catch. Maybe it won't start cold. Maybe it won't go more than 55 miles an hour. Maybe you've got a trouble code that you can't fix. Then Nate, up at Strictly Diesel, I-17 and Pinnacle Peak Road, is the guy that I think you should talk to. Let's go to the phones, and let's talk to Howard. Howard, good morning.
Bill's
first. Oh, Bill. I'm sorry, Bill. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Bill.
Yep, I'm here.
Go ahead, sir.
Yep. My son and I have been doing this restoration project on a 93 Jeep Cherokee for the last couple years.
Okay.
And we got it up and running and replaced the entire air conditioning system, and I took it to a couple shops to get it charged. But the system won't cool anything below 60 degrees. And I've taken it to several different places, and they just kind of go, well, that's kind of normal what you get when you upgrade to 134. And I kind of think that's probably not right, but so I'm kind of in the market for a shop that can really diagnose what we did wrong in this AC system.
Well, if I were you, I would have somebody recover. What'd you put in at 134?
Yeah.
Okay. Why didn't you go back to 12?
Well, I guess we just kind of thought that 12 was getting to the point where we couldn't find it anymore.
Okay. Well, that's not the case, because there's 10,000 million cans of 12 on the internet that's for sale and stuff. But it's okay. There is a conversion between 12 and 34, depending on how much the system is. And the difference, pretend like that it's a 40-ounce system with 12. It could be a 42 or it could be a 38. There's a conversion that we would do on it. Is there an expansion valve on this old Cherokee, or is it an orifice tube?
It's an expansion valve.
Okay. Sometimes that's needs to change. Do you have good airflow across the radiator? Do you have a fan clutch on it, or solid fan, or do you have electric fans on it?
Well, it's the model that has an electric fan that runs specifically for the air conditioner, and it has mechanical fans.
Okay. So when you turn on the air, we've got that other fan running?
Yep.
Okay. Is the fan on the front of the radiator or behind the radiator?
They're both behind the radiator.
Okay. So that fan better be sucking and not pushing. So if you reverse the polarity on it, sometimes the fan will push against the... But see, on the radiator side, you got the hot radiator there, so you're blowing through the radiator, or you're sucking air through the condenser and the radiator. You're using both fans to accomplish the same thing. I'm not real familiar with the vehicle you talk about, but I find it surprising that I don't think I've ever seen a car where we have a mechanical fan in a shroud, and we also have an electric fan on that same side of the radiator.
That was Jeep's.
Okay.
Yeah. Particular model has an overheating issue, and so that was one of Jeep's try to fix that problem. So they actually came from the factory that way.
Okay. All right. Well, today's kind of thing is that somebody might decide that they want to put that fan and remote that fan on the outside of the radiator if there's enough room between the front of the radiator and the grill and stuff. And so we want to push instead of pull. But here's the problem. All of us are scared to death of this car. We don't know how much moisture is inside of it. We don't know if the expansion valve is the right one or not. We don't know if the condenser's been changed. Is the volume the same? Should we increase the amount of refrigerant we put in it? So what ends up happening? Well, go ahead.
We replaced the entire complete system with all new parts. But what I did was we just bought, you know, replacement parts for that particular Jeep. And I was having a conversation with a company here in town that sells air conditioning parts, and they suggested that maybe the condenser I bought was for an R12 system and should have been designed for an R134 system, along with that expansion valve and maybe a little pressure switch. My issue is I'm not an air conditioning guy, so I need someone who can diagnose that sort of thing.
Well, and see, I'm telling you, no one wants that for the reasons you just cited. I mean, who's going to raise their hand and say, I'll be your hero and I'll carry you to the happy hunting grounds when you've got all of this mess in front of you? Now, here's the answer to it. Here's the answer to it. You find somebody who tells you they know how to fix it. And then you look them in the eye and you say, okay, and by the way, what do you want it to blow across the, what kind of temp do you want out of the center vent?
Something that's not 60 degrees.
See, you don't even know that. that's kind of important.
All I know is all my other cars blow around 45.
Okay. And the number is 45.
I don't know if that's realistic. I don't know if that's realistic.
The number is 45. So if the refrigerant is the right amount and everything, all the stars are aligned in the heavens, and the vehicle's got driving down the road at 25 miles an hour, so we have good airflow across the condenser, and we got a center vent temperature, and we're on recirculation, and we're running not on high speed, but the next one below that, then 45 degrees, bingo. But what part of town do you live in? I'll send you to somebody, but they're going to be scared when they hear it. What's going on here?
I get it. I just need somebody more, you know, obviously with more expertise than I do, because I know nothing about air conditioning systems. I'm in North Surprise, North Phoenix area.
Okay. I'd probably take it over to Harker. Ask him if he wants to try it. And he's not going to be able to give you an estimate. And when faced with that, oftentimes it's a huge estimate. We know we can always come down off the huge estimate. So, but Harker's, there's an old guy there, and there's a young guy there, and between those two guys, they could figure this out. If they're really, really busy, they may pass. They may pass until September or till October, or let me straighten this out. They pass before summer really starts. And so,
right.
But anyway, it is fixable, but the problem is that you can't fix it by taking a poll by all the guys that you've talked to. The guy that's from the refrigeration company, I would have said to him, could you fix this? Can you put this together? Can you give me an estimate? Give me a round figure. I'll take a low and a high, and I'll be happy with that. Call his bluff, because it's easy to say that stuff over the phone if you don't have to act on it. So I got to run, but thank you very much. Good luck. 602-508-0960. We'll be back in a minute. Welcome back, everybody. 44 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. Excuse me. Bill, if you're still listening, I'm going to add Harker's, and I'm going to tell you also Blackwell at 40th and Greenway. Tom does a lot of restoration work on vintage cars, so he's doing a lot of conversions from R30 to R134 and stuff like that. So it's a good idea to touch base maybe with both of them and just talk to them in a generic format. But Harker's, 38th Avenue and Indian School, Blackwell up at 40th Street and Greenway, both of those guys, especially Tom, because of his conversions already, he's already doing the conversions. And 45, 50 degrees, somewhere around there, low speed, second speed, not on high speed, because high speed is going to dilute the cold air because you're running it across the evaporator so fast. So to be fair, we're going to be testing center vent temperature on one or two speeds at 3 at the most, but never on full blast. Anyway, that'll help you out with that. Howard, good morning. Thank you for holding, by the way. How can I help you?
Mr. Salem, first off, I want to tell you it's a pleasure to have made your acquaintance today. I've listened to the show but never actually asked the question.
Okay.
So here's the situation, young man.
Okay.
I have an 05 Mercury Sable. It's been beat up by the kids, not my kids, but by the kids that whoever had it before me. Needless to say, I have a brake issue. And I have ABS light on and the brake light on all the time. Now, I had that diagnosed. They wouldn't repair it because they can't get Ford Motor parts. Yeah, I need a new proportioning valve. I call it proportioning valve. They call it something else.
Combo valve.
Something. Anyway, they won't repair it. I went to the Internet. I could get the parts used or refurbished from the Internet, but they wouldn't do the work. Okay. The brakes were fine until the other day. Now I'm getting fade pedal. I hit the brake. The pedal fades, then I hit it again, and it's up there, and it stops the car.
Okay.
So do I have a leaking? I have a leak somewhere, correct?
Well, I think the master cylinder's bypassing. Have you been adding fluid on a regular basis or not?
I haven't touched it yet.
Okay.
I'm going to do it today.
Okay, but the fluid's good is what I'm saying. We don't have one of the reservoirs empty.
I don't know, sir. I've never opened it. It's the little plastic one.
Well, you should be able to see the fluid on the outside of it.
No, it's the... Okay. Sir, the car's disgusting.
Okay.
No, you can't.
Okay, that's fine. Is it one reservoir or two?
It looks to me like one.
Okay, all right. When you open the lid, it'll probably have two. All I want is that I want fluid to be in both of them. When you push on the brake pedal... If you push on the brake pedal and the brake pedal fades, the master cylinder is bypassing. If there's no leaks at any of the four wheels, and if there was leaks at any of the four wheels, it would be on the back side of the wheel. You can crawl underneath the car and look at the back of each one of the four. So if the master cylinder...
You're funny. I can't crawl underneath anything, but go ahead.
Okay. Well, have your wife do it then, okay?
All right. And I don't have one of those either.
You have to look at the back side of each wheel to make sure there's no fluid there. Based on what you're telling me,
right.
I would replace the master cylinder first. I think it's a bunch of bull that you can't find a proportioning valve. That they can't find a proportioning valve, I find that stupid and ridiculous.
I know. I thought it was kind of...
Okay, we can't have this conversation like this. I'm going to help you the best I can, but I'm under time restraints. I think you have a bad master cylinder. I think that's entirely possible... being blamed on the combination valve or the proportioning valve. Because when you apply the brakes, you're losing pressure to half of your brakes, either the front brakes or the back brakes. The proportioning valve is going to then turn on its light because it doesn't like to see uneven brake pressure. So let's do the master first and demonstrate your problem to a shop. And then they'll do the master, they'll bleed the whole thing, and there is a good chance that that's it. You're done. If the brake pedal doesn't fade to the floor, then two things don't happen. When it fades to the floor, it pops on the red brake light, but then it also pops on probably a check engine light for the proportioning valve. But it can be two different brake lights, but one of them's saying uneven pressure and the other say proportioning valve, is in the older cars. So in your particular case, this isn't that hard. This isn't that hard. What part of town do you live in?
Sir, my car goes in all directions. I'd be more than happy to bring it right to the Salem Brothers.
Well, you can do that, but I think give me major cross streets.
I'm at 83rd and Indian School.
Okay,
sir. West 83rd.
Then Harker's 38th Avenue. Just go. Harker's is a good shop. This is on a 1 to 10 scale. This is a 3. On a 1 to 10 scale for difficulty, this is a 3. What's happened on your end is you got all these people flapping their gums in your ears, and you don't know who to believe. And I know that happens, but the reality is us old guys, we already know what's going on. And you did a great job by telling us you've got two brake lights on, and one of them is pressure, and probably one of them is the proportioning valve. So it's okay. It's okay. But you can come down and to the shop, and if you go there, you talk to Andy, my daughter, and she'll take care of it. It's not anything that you're going to wait for. Okay, so you'll need to drop it off, and then when they get done, then they'll call you. But they're going to tell you a checkout number. All of the shops do this. They're going to give you a checkout number. Then they're going to call you with an estimate. And so you add the checkout number to the estimate, and it's not to exceed this. All of us, that I know of, all the shops that I really respect in the Valley, we always overbid it. So some guys take 10%, sometimes guys take 20, and here's the reason why. We want to be the hero and come in under our estimate, but we don't want to have to call you if we need a new power steering or a new a master cylinder lid. So we want that little bit of fluff in there, but we don't scoop it up and put it in our pockets. At the end of the day, we're coming in under our estimate. We got the car done, and you're happy, and you tell everybody they came in under their estimate. What that means is we left money on the table we could have taken. But it's there because we just don't want to have to call you for something that's going to cost $5, $10, $15, $20 or whatever. So that's what I would do. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. Gil, we anybody in state or in queue?
Oh, yeah. We have Daniel.
Daniel, good morning.
Hello, Mark. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Good.
Yes. Silly question for looking for the proper now nomenclature for the front end of just like a 76 Monte Carlo, but the front end with the headlight assembly and the header and the grill above the bumper, what do you call that?
The bezel? Are you talking about the chrome or the aluminum piece around the light?
No, the whole front assembly.
Oh,
the sheet metal with the grill, the headlights.
Oh, that's called the core support. Are you talking about that metal thing where the radiator mounts to it, plus the headlights?
The outer portion that mounts to all that, like with that's already painted and.
Okay, well, isn't that part of the grill?
Well, it has the grill, it has the sheet metal, the hood ornament, both the headlights.
Okay.
What do you call that?
Well,
like a front header or there?
No, they're all separate pieces. They're all separate pieces.
Well, it's all one piece.
We can't do this. Tell me, what it is are you trying to accomplish? Are you trying to fix this car's been wrecked in the front?
I have one. I want to get rid of it. I want to put it on like Craigslist or something. But what do you call it?
Well, you just take pictures of it. Just when you're going to put it on Craigslist, you walk around to the four corners of the car. You take a picture of it. And you say any part of this car you want, call me. You don't have to. You don't have to come up with the numbers and the nomenclature and all that kind of stuff. Just go to all four corners and say I want to part this car out. If you've got one like it, come on, give me a call and come on down here. And you have to take it off and you have to pay me. That's how it works.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's already off the car. I've had it for probably 10 years and just want to get rid of it.
Okay, so you only have do you have the two front fenders and the hood and the grill?
No, it's just the grill assembly with the upper sheet metal before it hits the hood.
Okay, I've thrown out everything I know, and you say that's not it, so I can't help you. But I think if you took a picture of it and took it to a local body shop or to a dealership or any auto repair shop, and you said, here's a picture of what I have, what should I call that when I do my ad in the paper?
That's what I'm looking for. So.
That's a good answer.
It queried me because you were talking about body shops and stuff, and I said, I got to get rid of that, so...
Yeah. The nomenclature, it's more my fault than it is yours. It's just that you're best served by, I could answer your question if I could see a picture, and so could 100 other guys in town. So, and if you want the nomenclature, now here's something else you can do. You can talk to a body shop and ask them, what chassis does this car share? Now, you said, what year was the car you talked about?
Oh, like 76 Monte Carlo.
Okay,
Chevy.
So 76 Monte Carlo, and you may find out that I'm just guessing, a 74 goes all the way to 78, that they all use that same thing. So then when you put it in your ad, you can say 74 to 78 Monte Carlo parts, and then they don't have to go look it up themselves, but that's just something I can suggest to you. But, Daniel, good luck to you. Thank you very much for calling, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. And I'm going to start the caller, Gil, if you'll give me a name.
What's that?
Do we have another caller?
Oh, no, we don't.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open if you'd like to join us. And we're going to come back at 11 o'clock for another hour of fun and frivolity. So if you call in now, I'll try to take at least your question, and we'll talk a little bit until the top of the hour. And then about 4, 5, 6 minutes later, we'll come back on the air, and we'll take the rest of your call. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. And if you're outside the Phoenix metropolitan area, you're listening on iHeartRadio, 888-960-9696. 888-960-9696. And all those 96s are in there because we're at 960 The Patriot in Phoenix, and that's where my home base is at as well. Working on cars, and we've had a couple of calls today that we're talking about changing the car a lot. You have to be careful when you do that. For instance, the gentleman with the air conditioning issues, you have to know what you're doing. And you can't take the chance of contaminating the whole system, because when you change from one refrigerant to the other, that includes the Freon as well as the oil. And there's oil in the system, and it's not motor oil either. So those are the kinds of things that kind of move around a little bit. But it's better to find somebody that you can talk to, and it's better to have them demonstrate to you their skill level. And then you have two choices. Can I pay you to guide me, or can I pay you to do it? It's always better to pay him to do it, because if he doesn't do it right and he doesn't give you the results he promised you, then you can pay whatever bill he's got with a credit card and just stop payment on it. And your response to your insurance or your bank is going to be, he said he was going to do this and he didn't do this, and therefore I don't want to pay him. And oftentimes the shop will acquiesce in a quick hurry because they don't want to make MasterCharge or Visa or American Express or Discover really mad, because we really need to be able to take all those cards. So there's a little bit of a twist there, but there have been times that shops have won that war, and it's easy to deal with, and it's a very fair process as well. So 602-508-0960. When we come back now, one more time. If you have a 94, 95, or 96 Chevrolet Impala, I have two brand new hats that came with those cars. I have a black one.
1 minute.
And then I have a blue one. And they both have the Impala logo on the bill, and then below it says Impala SS. The other one is a police hat that came with the police car, because many of these were the police car. And that's blue with the Impala on the front. And it's got a nice adjustable leather strap on it. And on the side of it, it says police on one side and Impala on the other. I'm giving those away. What you have to have is the last 6 digits of the VIN. And then when you pick up the hat that's free, you're just going to bring the registration to show that the last 6 digits that you told Gil are the last 6 digits that were on your registration. Otherwise, I want to make sure I'm giving these hats to somebody who owns a 94, a 95, or a 96 Chevrolet Impala. It's just a nice compliment to own in one of those things. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. My name's Mark Salem, and we'll be back in probably about 4 or 5 minutes from now. Good morning, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem, and we're here till another hour talking about cars and car repair stuff. And if you'd like to join us, you can. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. And to be fair, we're going straight to Tom because he waited through the break, and I'm not going to do anything other than he has my 100% of my attention. Tom, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. Yeah, I wanted to ask you some pros and cons on installing a Jasper remanufactured engine in my van. Would you say it's better to repair what you have or just go out and replace with the prices that are out there right now?
What do you have? Tell me what the vehicle is.
It's a 2008 E250, and I do have a Jasper transmission in it. I put in about 9 months ago, or my mechanic did.
Yeah.
And it's the greatest thing I've ever driven with this transmission.
I am at the risk of sounding like I'm doing a commercial for Jasper. We use them as well. We're real comfortable with their customer service. We're real comfortable that the two of us can work through problems together. It's not a one-sided arrangement. I remember one time we had this 460 motor on an old 73 Ford truck that, and it was consuming oil. So they said send the whole motor back. and they called us and said, we messed up. Here's how we messed up. We're going to fix it. We're going to pay the rental car fees. We're going to pay you to put back in everything. Now, they're not going to pay my shop rate. They're going to pay my technician's rate. I'm happy with that. At least I broke even or somewhat.
Right.
So, I am a Jasper fan. I think they build good motors. I think they recognize their mistakes. I think they're priced appropriately. You should have been bid the motor and the labor, but then there's a whole bunch of dollars for the accessories, the motor mounts, the fan belts, the fluids, the gaskets, stuff like that. Make sure that all of that's in there.
That was my concern on it, getting a new motor and then like all the fuel injection and all that, and what. It be taking the old stuff off my old motor and putting it on the new one?
Yes.
What all does the new motor come with?
It's going to come with two heads and a block. So your valve covers, your intake manifold, your oil pan, it's going to have an oil pump in it. Your oil pans, right. All the sheet metal that surrounds your engine, valve covers, the intake manifold, and the oil pan is transferred.
All right.
And then all your fuel injection and everything like that. Did it run an idle smooth, and did it pass emissions before?
Oh, yeah. It's running great now. It's got 330,000 miles on it, though.
Okay.
So
it'll run great and afterwards.
I'm not sure if I should just drive this till the wheels fall off.
Okay.
Go ahead and make an investment.
Well, let's talk about that real quick, okay? If it's running good and it's not drinking oil and it's not blowing blue smoke and you're not fogging the neighborhood every morning when you leave, then I don't know why you're shopping for a new engine. I'm not afraid of any motors, and I want you to change your question, Mark. When you replace a motor, what typically prefaces the motor replacement? Well, and that's real easy. Somebody overheated the hell out of it, or somebody ran it low on oil and wiped the motor. Those are the two things. That's it. So if you came to me and said, you know, I want to spend $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 and put new spark plugs and new wires and new this and new this and new TPS and new EGR valve, and I want to do this and I want to put it back together, I'm happy to do that. But I mean, really and truly, if this thing's not leaking oil profusely, if it's not leaking oil at all and it's not blowing any blue smoke, then the only time I see motors come to me in a basket is when they were run low on oil or overheated significantly. So that 360 doesn't bother me. If you wanted to take me and my wife to New York City for dinner one night and you wanted to drive, I'd go with you. So, I mean, but if you're going to go to an aftermarket, then Jasper would be my choice. And keep in mind that the engines that come from the dealers are not ones that are made at the factory. They buy them from a variety of vendors that I buy them from. So you just hit the sweet spot. I'm a Jasper guy. Okay?
Do you have time for another question?
Real quick, you bet.
When I at a drive-through or something in my van and I'm at a stop and I have a slight turn on my wheel and I take off, I hear kind of like this grinding sound, and that was there before the transmission. Would you say that's probably something in the rear end?
No. No, that's a very unusual thing. If you're just putting a little bit of input in the steering, otherwise when you pull up and you don't do anything to the steering wheel and you take off, this noise isn't there. You pull up to a traffic light and to a stop and you give it steering input to the right or the left, the very first few feet make a noise. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Right.
Okay.
Correct.
I can't do that one, but there's 100 shops out there that would say, just bring it over to me and I'll give you 10 minutes. You're not going to take me for a ride for an hour while you make it happen. You need to practice on making it happen, and you bring it on over here and we'll take a ride. And if you can do it in the parking lot, I'm going to hug you. So that's how it works.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I appreciate it. I'll bring it down.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Can I mention the shop that did the transmission?
Yes. You know what? I usually don't, but I yes. Go ahead.
I'll just say the boys were great.
Oh. Okay. Okay. All right. Yeah.
I'll see you next week in the office.
Okay. Okay. That's fine. You're already dealing with Andy and Alan anyway, so I'm quite sure that they'll be just fine, and Eddie and any one of the nine guys there can drive that thing in the parking lot and listen to the noise. So Tom, thank you very much. Tom, number two, how are you?
Hello, good morning.
You have to go off speakerphone because it's not going to work that way. Hello?
Hello? Well, I'm trying to get off this thing.
Oh.
Because I'm not on a regular phone.
Oh, okay. So you push the speaker button.
Okay, how about now?
That's fine. That's fine.
Okay, now I'm good. I'm awake.
Okay. I already know what this is about. You're calling about air conditioning, and the name, your name is Tom Blackwell from Blackwell Automotive, and if you're going to tease me, I'm going to have Gil dump you faster than you can blink an eye. But I have a couple of questions. I'm glad you called. I have a couple of questions for you.
Okay.
So we got a lot of vintage cars out there. You work on them. And there are times when we're going to convert from 12 to 134. And when that happens, we have a lot of variables that are involved. I want you to be brief, but I want you to talk about the variables. For instance, I'm going to throw one at you. The orifice tube or the expansion valve. Is there going to be a change between 12, the old refrigerant, and the 134?
Depending on what it is, whether it is an orifice tube or an expansion valve, I've used the expansion valves off of 134 and R12 in the same system, and they worked fine. However, there are some instances where you have to change them, but technically they work the same.
On an expansion valve? Okay, what about an orifice tube?
The orifice tubes are slightly different, but again, technically they still work the same. But there is a change in the 134 and the R12.
On an orifice tube exchange, when you update, when you take a 134 and you're gonna take a 12 and go to a 134, the old Freon to the new Freon, the orifice tubes come in a variety of different colors, and the tube inside is a variety of different sizes. Are you finding out that you oftentimes have to experiment with one or two tubes to get it to blow cold?
I haven't run across that very often. However, the orifice size, say in an orange or a blue or a white, obviously are going to be different sizes. I've taken the orifice tubes out of them completely on a system like the GM with the accumulator, the stuff that we've seen for years.
Right.
Eliminated the orifice tube and put an expansion valve in its place.
Okay. Is it an adjustable expansion valve?
No.
Okay. All right. I'm asking you
just your regular old vanilla expansion valve.
Okay. And everybody else is understanding this conversation, but you're not. That's okay. Just answer the questions. Have you ever seen a vehicle that had a manual belt-driven fan and an electric fan on the same side of the radiator? I mean, on the engine side of the radiator?
Not very often, unless somebody got it backwards.
Well, we're going to go question and answer. Have you ever seen one? Because I haven't. I've never seen the electric on the same side as the mechanical, belt-driven. And I'm of the same opinion. I think maybe somebody, it should have belonged on the outside, the grill side of the condenser, as opposed to the fan side of the radiator. That was my position. Okay?
Right, yeah. And now that we're talking about it, yeah, maybe on a Ford truck, but it has nothing to do with what we're talking about here, in my opinion.
Okay. Now, what's the center vent temperature you want to hit to know that you did a good job? What's the Fahrenheit number?
You know, 38 to 40, maybe 42. Someone, let's say 38 to 42.
Okay, let's go 38 to 45, if you'll just go along with me on this one. Because
All right.
Fair enough. And when you're testing it, are you driving it, or is it in the bays, and what speed is the fan on? And folks, the reason I'm asking it is because whether you're driving it or it's in the bays, or whether the fan speed is online on 1 versus 10, there's a big difference in what the speed is or what the temp is. So what do you use, Tom?
Well, we've used a stationary fan, like we used to use on the dyno, in the dyno bay, to blow some air across the front of the radiator.
Gotcha.
To bring the high side pressure down. We've driven them down the road. We've used to find out if you had a situation where the vent temperature was warm, I just had it serviced, it's still not working just right. We find out that the condenser fan motor might be bad, or the driven fan, the belt driven fans are not pulling enough air through it.
Spray
some water on the condenser. So there's some other things like that.
Okay, you've given me all the variables, but you didn't answer the question. What speed is the fan on? The fan, the blower fan, the blower motor. Are you on low or on high? And but you did answer the question that we're going to simulate the car going down the road at 30, 40 miles an hour with a huge fan in front of it. Okay. So, what vent temperature, you know, if we're going to agree on 38 to 45, what are you
changing? I check them on medium.
Okay.
Not on high.
Okay. Okay. So do we. So we have found that that's the fairest place to do it. So you came into a conversation kind of late. At the end of the day is somebody called in and they had this, car, and I said to him as nice as I could be that nobody's going to want this car because it's just, there's been so many people guessing about what it needs. And there's been so many things that have been changed, and then of course we had the fan on the wrong side of the radiator. But at the end of the day, he couldn't get past 50, and he had tried numerous places, and it was a 134. It was an R12, old Freon to a new Freon conversion, but he didn't know if they had changed the if it even had an orifice tube or if it had an expansion valve, and both of those meter the amount of refrigerant through the system. So those are the gates of how fast or how slow the refrigerant flows through the system, and those are important considerations for the air conditioning. So, Tom, thanks for spending the time with me, but hopefully I've made it clear to everybody else that these are all moving parts, but Tom has been successful, because I've sent cars to him before, in successful in getting the air conditioning to blow between 38 and 45 on most all the cars, but there is a process of elimination, and unfortunately the customer has to pay for that. We'll be back right after this. And welcome back, everybody. 21 minutes after the hour, 11 o'clock, if you have a car question or car problem. This has been a day where we've had questions and problems that have just had so many answers to them, and oftentimes when you ask, if you see, like I'm in a roadmap kind of thing, and so in the center we're in Phoenix, and as you well know, you can leave Phoenix in any one of about 30 different directions in the face of a clock. And so when you ask a question, if the answer is I don't know, that you're really not, you know, you're not really taking a step forward. I had a chance to talk with Tom Blackwell off the air, and when they're doing vintage car repair stuff, they're typically upgrading the system using vintage parts, and the system itself holds between 1.5 and 2 pounds of refrigerant. And if you're going to upgrade it, you're going to upgrade it to a 134, because you certainly aren't going to upgrade 12 to 12 because it's hard to get and it's a little expensive. So 134 is the better choice. It's the newer refrigerant. It's the same reason why we don't have green coolant anymore. Well, we do, but we have orange and we have blue and we have amber and we have a variety of different colors that denote different marketing strategies for each one of the coolants or antifreeze, if that's what you want to call it. So the idea of this really goes back to one of the very first callers at the front side, when we were talking about a restoration of a car or fixing a car. And one of the things that he wanted to do was just get the air conditioning back in. And I said, is it going to be a 12 system, which is the old refrigerant, or is it going to be the new system, which is the 134? And then that's where we just went in every different direction. But anyway, 602-508-0960. If we can get back to the show, we will. 602-508-0960. And so I want to talk about another good shop that I haven't talked about today, but Action Auto Repair is at I-17 in Deer Valley. And Tom and I have been friends since 1983. Tom knows right from wrong, so does his staff. He's well known for quality workmanship. He has great customer service and a fast turnaround time, and his technicians are ASE Master Certified. A Master Certification, ASE tests, the basic fundamental is that there are 8 automotive tests, and each one of them tests a particular area of the car, like brakes is one of the tests. Climate controls, air conditioning and heat is one of the tests. Performance, which is fuel injection, is one of the tests. Alignment, suspension, transmissions, electrical system. Well, when you're a master, you've passed them all. And I've been a master since 1991, and you have to recertify every 5 years until you retire. And at that point, you become a retired ASE master, and you're allowed to call yourself a master. They use the word emeritus, which means retired. So that's an important consideration when you pick a shop is do they have a lot of master technicians there, which are the seasoned dogs. Those are the guys that have been around a long time. So Action Auto Repair, lots of those. I-17 in Deer Valley is a good place to go. And we have a caller. Who might that be?
Say hello to Bob.
Bob, good morning. How can I help you?
Hey, Mark.
Hey.
Morning. Two questions. First one, 464-2010. 230,000 miles on it, highway miles. I drove it to work every day and back, 40 miles each way. It's a great truck. So if you were going to refresh it, what would you do to it? And then I was wondering what your opinion of the 5.7 Hemi. My wife has one, got 96,000. She's wanting to trade in the car, and like, not that time to do it, the prices of cars.
Okay. Give me.
Trying to get your feedback on both.
All right, you're breaking up, but the 230,000, give me the year, make, and model of that again. I missed it.
2010 F-150.
Okay. Okay. I'm not a fan of trying to outguess God. And unless this thing is puking oil out of the valve covers, and unless it's got tremendous internal pressure, or it's drinking oil, or it's fouling the spark plugs, I think I would just leave it alone, because of all the motors we do, and we do a lot of motors, of all of them we do, 99% of them come in because they've been overheated or they've been run low on oil. So it's been a very long time. I can tell you the truck, it was a 73 Chevy or a Ford pickup truck. It came in just... It just got to the point where it was fouling spark plugs so bad, and we put another motor in it. So I don't have a crystal ball, but I can tell you it's not going to be benefit to change it now because you think it's going to fail later. This thing could go 300,000 miles. We had that other caller that came in here. I'll look at my thing here, and he had 300,000 miles on it or something like that. So it's really a matter of if you want to, as far as your Ford's concerned, I like Jasper Motors. I just always have. We could also find a low mileage motor probably in a wrecking yard that the numbers would match yours. And so if you found one in a wreck truck with 20,000 miles that was a direct replacement, that might be an option for you. So there's lots of options.
Gotcha.
But I'm just not a fan of changing them until they start, you know, start fogging the neighborhood with blue smoke, or they start drinking oil and become undependable.
It's not doing any of that. My concern was like time and change. That was my concern. You know, if that's something worthy of going in, because it's never had anything done to it.
Okay.
But it's a great vehicle.
Okay, I'll tell you what I would do if I were you is I would take an oil sample from the next time the oil change, ask them to give you the first 5 ounces of oil that comes out of the drain hole, and just put it in a baby food jar. Get on the internet and send it to somebody and have them do an analyzation. If there's a lot of aluminum in there, it's typically because the chain is slapping the cover, and you're right. It needs attention. But if there is no aluminum in there, then there ain't no chain slapping the cover, and you're okay. It'll also give you parameters for the iron and the zinc and all that kind of stuff, and it'll really give you kind of a baseline. And if you do that annually, and they cost $20, I think, or something like that, give or take 10, then you all of a sudden you got a bunch of iron, or you got a bunch of aluminum, or you've got coolant, antifreeze, or water. Those oil analysis kind of help you take the heartbeat of your motor, and they cost nothing. The thing of it is that we need the first 5 ounces when we change the oil, because that's the oil's running across the bottom of the pan and bringing out a lot of trash, and that's kind of the oil that we want to look at. So does that help you?
Gotcha. Yes, it does. And I do the oil changes myself, so not anything I couldn't do myself. So, and then the 5.7, that's a 2012 Dodge Charger, the 5.7.
Yeah. How many miles has that got on it?
96.
Yeah. You know,
my concern with that is I've heard about lifter issues. That's my concern with that.
Yeah, but we can still fix the lifter issues. We don't have to put a motor in it. We can fix the lifter issues. I think you just wait until you have a deal and then you deal with the problem that you have. I don't think that you plan on putting a motor in that just because this group of people, this very small group of people, have had problems with lifters. I really think that you just kind of let the car go, and it's going to be as dependable as it has been, and it's going to give you symptoms before it goes to motor heaven. There's no question about that. You're going to get symptoms. It ain't going to be tomorrow afternoon at 2:16, it's fine, and at 2:17, it blows up. That doesn't happen. So nevertheless, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open. Welcome back, everybody. 34 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock, and we have four lines open. Josh has got one. I'm going to get to Josh in about 2 minutes or less, and you're welcome to grab the others. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Kurt's Automotive has been on my list of car repair shops for just decades. Kurt and his staff, they're a family-owned, independent auto repair shop, been around a long time. They've been recognized as a Better Business Bureau Ethic Award winner. They opened their doors in 1987. He works on domestic and import, both gas and diesel. He has ASC-certified technicians. He's a good guy. So if you live anywhere near Bell and I-17, the northeast corner is Kurtz Automotive. If you don't have a shop or you want to try another shop for just an oil change, then go to Kurtz. See how they treat you. See what they do. I can tell you that the shops that I represent are not the shops that bring you in on a $19 oil change and then give you a hand-drawn list of estimates for $2,000 of work you need. That's just not what it's all about. Not to us, anyway. So when you go in, you get an oil change. If we see something that you need now, we'll tell you and put a number to it. No hard pressure, nothing, you're going to die about this, nothing. It's not that way. And here's some other things that you're going to need to spend in the future. Here's some numbers to go with it so that you can budget. Thank you very much. Low pressure, no twisting of the arms. That's not Kurtz Automotive, I-17 and Bell. Let's go to Josh. Josh, thanks for holding. How can I help you?
Yeah, thanks for taking the call.
You bet.
I actually picked up a 2008 Land Rover LR3. About a year ago at auction, foolish, just kind of impulse decision, but 140,000 miles or so, and over the course of a couple months, it started to have a minor like hiccup during the transmission shifting at 20 to 30 miles an hour. Some days it happened, some days it didn't. A buddy read the code for me, and it said something like both. It's been a few months, so I'm sorry I don't have the exact codes, but it said something like. There was an issue in acceleration and deceleration as well. I took it to the shop, and the rover specialist actually just looked at it and said it needs a new transmission, $9,000 quote. Is there a way to save that? It's been kind of less frequent during the winter months. I don't know if there's a reason for that or if that's just kind of random.
You know, I don't know. It's interesting that they came to a conclusion real quick, and there's two trains of thought about that. When you work on a car like the Rover or a Volvo that's just kind of a one-time car, it's not like the General Motors line or the Ford line or the Chrysler line or the Honda or Toyota, it's just a line, then the guys that work on those all the time, they usually can tell you what's in your future. In your particular case, have you ever changed the fluid and the filter on it?
Well, that's what I took it in. So I just asked them, and they said they don't do that. It's too risky and causes more problems. And I'm like, well, that's the cheapest fix, isn't it?
Okay, all right. What they should have said to you was, there is a risk associated with this. There are times that we make it worse. There are times we make it better. If I'm talking to you, I'm saying most of the time it's the same or better. And so you got a 25% chance of being worse and a 75% chance of being the same or better. That tells us a lot.
I'll take those out.
And then another thing is are we going to do the filter and flush it, which is probably in the $200 to $300 range, or are we just going to do the filter and then just do 2 or 3 quarts? So there's kind of iffy things about that. Let me ask you to do this. I want you to take over the shift, and then I want you to manually shift it. Okay? So you pull the shifter down into the low gear and then click it forward, click it forward, click it forward, and try to manually shift it. The question is what does the problem, how does the problem respond to that?
Okay.
Now, are we...
And if that doesn't fit the same?
Well, the reason I'm asking you is engine misses are oftentimes misdiagnosed as transmission shift concerns. And so by you taking it into a different RPM range and holding it out a little longer from 1 to 2 and 2 to 3 and 3 to 4, you say, you know, it just goes away. Then I'm thinking to myself, I wonder if we have a bad plug or a bad plug wire on this. Now, the other thing you can do is if it's an issue with the secondary ignition, which is spark, then it's going to be worse when it's wet. So keep an eye on that.
Okay.
So I'm not a I'm not a big fan of changes in transmissions based on one symptom that nobody knows. Yeah. My technicians aren't going to come to me and say, oh, I got this symptom and he needs a new transmission for $5,000. I'm not going to buy that.
1 minute.
You know, I actually asked them, I said, did you test drive it? Because I gave them the codes. And they said, no, we put it on a computer and we got the same codes you gave us. I almost lost my mind.
Well, and that's the code. You know what? The code just isn't God's word. It isn't that. The code, we have all kinds of, we have a lean condition code and it says the O2 sensor. 90% of the time, it ain't the doggone O2 sensor. The O2 sensor is the messenger. The O2 sensor tells the computer what's coming out of the exhaust. Well, we've got an EGR valve that's stuck open. We got a big vacuum leak over here. We got a bad brake booster over here. So we can replace those O2 sensors until we're all dead and we ain't going to fix your car. So I just hate it when technicians, admittedly, the Land Rover guys work on one kind of car. Salem works on every kind of car. They work on one. So maybe they're a little more well-versed than I am about looking into the future. So
I wish I would have looked in the future and told me not to buy it, but that's not my fault.
Now, that's the follow-up. If you go into a shop and they tell you your car is a piece of crap, but then they want to buy it, then there's a message there. Okay,
there you go.
One last thing. I want you to call Goodies, G-O-O-D-Y. Goody is an old Mercedes-Benz guy. But here's what you're going to ask him. You're going to say, Mark Salem lost his mind on Saturday, and he said to call Goody and ask Goody, who's a good Land Rover guy? Because Goody's going to know, and he's up in North Scottsdale. So I think you should spend a minute to call Goody and just ask him that question. Salem said if anybody would know, you'd know a good Land Rover independent shop. That's what you're looking for.
Perfect.
Okay? Good luck to you.
Excellent.
All right.
Thanks
so
much.
You bet. And let me write to you. And I'm going to take a break, and when we come back, the lines are wide open, 602-508-0960. You know, when you have your car fixed, 24 hours later, you'll know what kind of a job you got. It's just not any different than that. No matter what happens when you get your car fixed, you'll know. And sometimes it's going to take a little time. The code on a car doesn't mean that system is the problem. It can be the system is the problem, or it can say that something that reports to this particular circle of information is the problem. So the code doesn't mean a mass airflow sensor code 50% of the time, as far as I'm concerned, is not the mass airflow sensor. It's an air leak somewhere in the system. So the big rubber hoses that connect everything, one of them has a split, one of them's leaking air, one of them is cracked and broken. So we have unmetered air being ingested into the engine and the computer is confused. Put a piece of duct tape over it, go drive it, everything's fine, take the duct tape off, everything's back the way it was, you're done. But it does take some seniority, it does take some gray hair to get to the point where you can do that. So be wary of this. It's got this code. That means it needs this. I'll give you an example real quick. When old guys like me, and there's a lot of old guys like me in this valley, they come in and we have an engine misfire, and the guy says to us, it's always the guy, and it's always a Ford. He says, I've changed all the wires. I've changed all the spark plugs. I've done a compression test. I've done this. I've done that. And I can't get this one cylinder misfire number 7. So we go out there and we spray a little bit of carburetor cleaner on it, and we go, it's got a bad intake gasket right here. Well, how do you know that? Well, because when I hit that spot right there, the motor smoothed right out. So the gasket is causing a lean condition on cylinder number 7. The computer's seeing cylinder number 7 is not contributing because there's more air than there is fuel, so therefore 1 and 1 equals 2. It's not that easy all the time, but that's how it works. You just have to know what can cause this code. You have to bend around the block. Well, there's a lot of guys. Auto Dynamics is one of them. They're up in Sun City. When people call me and they say, who do I go to? I say, go to Auto Dynamics in Sun City. He's been around a very long time. He knows right from wrong. He's been around since 1982, as a matter of fact. He doesn't pay his technicians or his staff a commission, so you're not going to have big bills because their paycheck gets better, bigger. So if you're in Sun City, my recommendation is Auto Dynamics, the north side of Grand, just west of 99th Avenue. Michael, good morning. How can I help you?
Good morning, Mark. I have an old 2000 Buick Century with a 3.16 cylinder, 131,000 miles on it, and the oil is coming on the exhaust or on the engine, and it gets into the cabin and smells, and it's been doing that for a while. Did anything come to mind that would help that?
Well, what I hear you saying is that the fumes from the engine is pressurized, overpressurized because it's old, and the fumes are escaping the engine, and you're smelling them in the cab of the vehicle. Is that fair?
I thought maybe I took it to a fellow last week I really like, and he said that the oil was leaking out onto the hot engine, and it was making it do that.
Okay. Well, if you have an oil leak, and that's the smell, first of all, if you want to find out, do you know the difference in your air conditioning controls between outside air and inside air?
Not really.
Okay. Maximum is recirculation in the car. We're not taking any air outside the car. The maximum setting on your air conditioning, we're taking air and we're circulating cold air in. I want you to think of maximum like refrigeration on your house. I want you to think of normal like a swamp cooler. A swamp cooler. So if you're driving around and your air conditioning or your climate controls is in normal, you're going to be breathing some of the air from the engine compartment. If you go from normal to maximum, you won't be. But if,
I always have it on max.
Okay. So then if you want to fix the motor, you can fix the motor. What I'd do is that I'd start with a new oil change. What kind of oil do you, not what kind, but what weight of oil have you been using? Do you know?
It's semi-synthetic, 1030.
Okay. I'd put a 30 weight in it and see what kind of a difference I make. But you're not.
That's a good idea.
You can't.
Yeah.
You can't. 30 weight's going to be fine. 30 weight's going to be fine, and that will tell us something if we can get around it. Make sure that when you're on maximum, you got the windows rolled up, so we're not breathing the air that's coming out through the vent in front of the windshield. So if we got a smell, we want to get rid of the smell at the same time. But I just put 30 weight in it and go for 3,000 miles and see what the heck happens. But another thing, is that all the symptom you've got is the smell? That's all you got?
Yeah, there is no smoke.
Okay. Then that, go to maximum and keep the windows up. And even if you're in heater, go stay and put 30 weight in it, and let's see if we can make progress. Because, see, here's the deal. When an old motor gets too much pressure inside, we start fouling spark plugs. I was fishing for you to say that. And you didn't say that. And then when an old motor gets tired, it builds up so much internal pressure, it starts blowing out the different gaskets and leaking. Valve covers, front of the intake, back of the intake, the oil pan, the rear main seal, the front seal. We start having oil leaks. You didn't say that. So whatever you've got on a 1 to 10 is like a 2 or a 3. So change the oil and let's go thicker and see what happens, okay?
Would it help to put, can you buy 30 weights some places?
Oh, you can buy 30 weight anywhere. I shoot 30 weight out of a gun all the time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's no problem. You just say the next time you go in, whatever oil you use, I don't want a synthetic. I don't want a semi-synthetic. I want just a regular 30 weight put in this and put my door sticker at 3,000 miles.
How about the Lucas oil stabilizer? Would that help?
You can use that, but let's do the 30 weight and see if we make any progress. Then if we don't make any progress and we still got the smell, then let's go to the Lucas. That takes the place of one quart of oil. And then you can use that, and that's like putting a 40 weight in there. Okay?
Thank you for helping us very much. Bye.
You're welcome, Michael. George, you're up next. How can I help you?
Good morning, Mark. How are you today?
Good, frazzled, but good. See, what you don't know is I'm up here at the ranch, and I've got people that are playing outside with guns out of our fence line. And so I got dogs barking in the studio. I got all this moving parts, and then my phone's going crazy because my friends listen to the show and they want to counsel me about the right thing to say. So going on in my world. But George, you got 100% of my attention.
Okay, I'm a retired body shop owner about 5-6 years back. And first hour you were talking about insurance companies and calling your insurance company to recommend a body shop.
Yes, sir.
That would be a big no-no.
Okay. Okay, why?
My experiences since 1982 has always been if you are on a preferred shop list, you're going to have to play their game. A month or two back, you were talking about aftermarket warranty companies, how, you know, if you have to wait a few days for their steering rack to arrive from Mexico.
Yes.
And then it's no good, and you have to tie up your rack for a few more days for another one to come in. This is what they want. They want preferential treatment using the parts they want, whether it's used or aftermarket or just you don't know where it's coming from, and you're stuck with whatever they want. And you don't have much choice in that. If you're a claimant against the company, you have a little more choice. But if it's your own insurance policy, you have to do what they say.
Okay.
You have to install their parts. And 9 times out of 10, it's a bad, bad way to go.
Okay, and I agree 100% with what you said, and I'm just going to synopsize it for you. When your insurance company is paying a shop to fix your car, there is a relationship between the insurance company and the shop. And there are times the shop would like to do something different, but the insurance company overrules the process, and they have the power because they're the one that's writing the bill. It is well known in our industry that some, if not maybe half of those decisions could be argued both ways, and it works both ways. And they don't want to put Ford parts on it. They want you to find some aftermarket vintage part or something like that. There's all kind. And George is right. George is right. The insurance company is really the dog that's going to wag the tail, there's not much you can do about it. But George, what I said was, and thank you for this opportunity. If you go to where your insurance company is, George, you have to agree that at the end of the day, if they want to be the biggest a-holes in the whole wide world, they just don't pay you, and you have a choice to go hire some high-fangled attorney to try to get your money out of them. So they do pull a lot of weight when it comes to getting their customer taken care of.
Listen, you could hire a high-powered attorney that's going to cost you more than if you just paid the difference out of your own pocket. In which case, why do you have a policy?
You're right. I agree with you. I agree with you. But what I was trying to represent was the insurance company, and evidently somewhat correctly, the insurance company does have the arm of the owner a little twisted. And so their purpose is I'm going to add the second one. Their purpose is make my customer happy, and then I'm going to agree with George. The second purpose is I want to pay as little as I can on this repair. Is that right?
Of course.
Okay.
Of course.
And so, of course. That's that. Well, thank you for your service. How long did you work on Fred Flintstone's car?
No.
I'm teasing you. I'm teasing you. Someone asked me that the other day. I said, yeah, I'm not that old, but that's funny. So I got to use it. So right now I just got to use it on George.
That's okay.
All right. Other than that, here's the hard question, George. George, how am I going to know? Tell me what to do to find a really good body shop.
I would ask my neighbors, my friends, my coworkers, anybody.
Okay.
What's the experience you had?
Okay.
Otherwise, there's really no other way unless you just happen to know somebody, a business.
Okay.
And that's kind of a rarity. There's less and less shops all the time. People are closing down. They're just retiring like me or selling out to there's no reason that Allstate or Geico or whatever insurance company should have their own shops.
No, you're right.
Because that's playing into self-interest. because when you dance with the devil, guess who's going to lead?
And I agree with you. I work for insurance companies all the time. I have some favorite ones, and this is what I say. These are the ones where the tie goes to the customer almost every time, the customer. Mm-hmm. And I could, if somebody wants to know what my list is, just email me and I'll tell you what the list is. These are, and I don't even have, one of them I insure with, but the rest of them I don't do business with them. But each and every time I say, you know what, I'd rather be on the other side. And the insurance adjuster says, yeah. Why do you want to be on the other side? And I say, well, here's your weaknesses. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And he goes, fine. And then correct. They fix it. And I like that. But you're right, and I like the idea that you talk to your friends and your coworkers and all that kind of stuff, because you're looking for a happy person. And then the next question is how many times did you have to go back? Because if it took 4 times to get it right, and this other shop has 5 customers that only went in once and came out once, then there might be a little difference between those two. George, I got to run, but thank you very much for bringing that up. I my feelings aren't hurt. I appreciate the, you know, both of us are in the same kind of industry, and you bring up a good point, and you're right. The insurance company wants to fix your wrecked car for the least amount of money, and that is really all about parts and where we buy them and what the insurance company will pay for them. And a lot of the insurance companies now want to send us parts to put on the car, even from the mechanical side. And unfortunately, or fortunately for us, we can tell them no. And so then the customer can say, well, I'll tow it to another shop, or the customer says, by law, I can have it fixed by the shop of my choice, and Salem's the shop I want to fix. And then me and the insurance company will come to an agreement on how we're going to take care of this part that they want to pay $100 for, but it cost me $120 or something stupid. And that's a stupid example, but you get the point. Anyway, George, thank you very much. Folks, my email is mark@marksalem.com, mark@marksalem.com. If you're on Facebook, you can find me on Facebook, but I'm not talking about food. I'm not talking about anything except cars. That's it. Just cars. Car repair, car fixing, hot rod car, stuff like that. I don't go into any of those other things that are going to get me in trouble, because my wife and my kids won't let me. That's the reason why that is. But if you have a question, mark@marksalem.com. And please leave me a phone number, because I'll call you back on my blocked cell phone. And we'll have a talk, because I'm going to have more questions. So, again, mark@marksalem.com. Please drive safely, and if somebody does something nice, would you just tap your horn and just wave and say thank you. I'll see you next week.